Greetings, friends, ladies and gentlemen. We continue our discussion of the great subject, God's grace. Today, is it possible for one to fall away from God's grace and be lost? A child of God, one who has been saved of the blood of Christ, may fall away and be eternally lost in hell. This fact is very clearly taught throughout the Bible. It should challenge our thinking and induce more faithful obedience to God's holy commandments. There are more than 2,500 warnings in the Bible concerning man's falling away. He is warned and exhorted to be diligent in serving God, lest he fall away and be lost. Paul, the apostle, wrote to the early Christians, "Stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are falling from grace." Galatians chapter 5 and the first four verses. Almighty God is solemnly warned that if his people forsake him, God will forsake them. If man does not forsake God, then God will never forsake man. This is the word of God. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and willing mind. For the Lord searcheth the hearts and understandeth the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. And again God warns, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of thee. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 2. The venerable apostle warned God's people of the danger of falling when he wrote, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall." 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. As the apostle considered his own personal responsibility, he wrote, "But I buffet my own body and bring it in subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away." 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27. Paul realized that could be a possibility of being lost himself, although he was a faithful apostle of Christ. In his letter to the Hebrews, the apostle warned God's children, "Take heed, brethren, lest haply there be any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God." Hebrews 3:12. In Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6, the apostle declared, "For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the age to come, and then fell away, it is impossible to renew them again in the repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame." Notice the description of these children of God. 1. Once enlightened. 2. Tasted the heavenly gift. 3. Made partakers of the Holy Spirit. 4. Tasted the good word of God. 5. Tasted the power of the age to come. And then fell away. What better identity of a child of God could one find? Yet the apostle declared, "Then fell away." Do you ask what will be the end of the child of God whose life is unfruitful? Let the apostle give his conclusion of the matter. I quote, "But if it beareth thorns and thistles, it is rejected and nigh unto a curse, whose end is to be burned." Hebrews 6, verse 8. What will the end be, Paul? The application and conclusion of Paul's teaching in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, is the regretful fact that the unfruitful plan in God's kingdom, the rejected child of God, is to be burned. The Apostle Peter made it very definitely known that a child of God may fall away and be lost. He wrote, "For if after they escape the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state has become worse than the first. For it were better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than after having known it to turn back from the holy commandments delivered unto them. 2 Peter 2:20-21. Observe the identity of these people and the final results. 1. They escaped the defilements of the world. 2. They escaped through the knowledge of Christ. 3. They turned from the holy commandments. 4. They may again become entangled and overcome. 5. The last state is worse than the first. There can hardly be any doubt about the possibility of a child of God being lost in view of these inspired declarations. We now consider some objections offered by those who contend that it is impossible for a child of God to be lost. Objection number 1. Eternal life is promised now, it is affirmed. It is affirmed that the believer has eternal life now the moment he believes, and he cannot be lost. The scripture suggested, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." John 5:24. The statement, "hath eternal life and shall not come into condemnation," is misunderstood. "Shall not come into condemnation" does not mean impossible to be condemned. In John 3:36, Jesus also said, and I quote, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life." In John 5:24, we are taught that the believer shall not come into condemnation. In John 3:36, we are told that the unbeliever shall not see life. If John 5:24 means that it is impossible to become an unbeliever and be lost, then John 3:36 teaches that it is impossible for an unbeliever to become a believer and be saved. The term "shall not" is as permanent and authoritative in one passage as the other. In one passage, the believer shall not come into condemnation. In the other passage, the unbeliever shall not see life. The conclusion? The two scriptures are not contradictory. If an unbeliever may become a believer and see life, then the believer may become an unbeliever and come into condemnation. A child of God, therefore, can be lost. A child of God has eternal life as a promise. And this is the promise he hath promised us, even eternal life. 1 John 2:25. A child of God hopes for eternal life. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, as we read in Titus 1:2. Again, in Titus 3:7. "Being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Hope of eternal life, the apostle declared. Question, Paul, what are you hoping for? Eternal life? Don't you know that many honest people believe that a child of God actually has eternal life now and can't possibly lose it? Or if you lose it, you never had it? Paul, you say by inspiration that a child of God lives in hope of eternal life? Here is answer again, and I say, are you listening? "For in hope were we saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For that which a man hopeth for, which he seeth. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Romans 8:24-25. Eternal life is rewarded the believer at the end. The apostle said, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto sanctification and the end eternal life." Romans 6:22. Our Lord declared, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Revelation 2:10. Our Lord promised eternal life in the world to come. Hear him. "Verily I say unto you, that is no man that left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life." Mark 10:29-30. Jesus said, in the world to come, eternal life. Objection number two. My sheep never perish, it is affirmed. An objection has been raised against the teaching of the Scriptures, which declare eternal life is yet to come, because Christ said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. John 20:10-29. But this passage does teach that eternal life is conditional. Let us observe the passage closely. Number one, my sheep hear my voice. Two, I know them. Three, they follow me. Four, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The sheep follow Christ after they know him. Christ gives to them eternal life after they follow him. And eternal life will be given at the judgment. Read very carefully Matthew 25:31-36. Objection is also raised, stating that Christ said, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. It is therefore impossible for a child of God to be lost. This false theory is the result of the doctrine that no man can do anything to be saved, therefore can do nothing to be lost. It is true the devil cannot, like a wolf, snatch away a child of God and send him to hell. If a man is lost, it will be by virtue of his own choosing. God does not allow man to be tempted above that which is able to bear, but man must do the escaping. Hear the apostle in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as a man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that ye may be able to endure it. God makes the way of escape, but man may or may not escape. All depends on him. James declares, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Man himself must do the resisting to put the devil on the run. Objection number three. A child of God cannot sin so as to be lost. Another objection to the New Testament teaching that it is possible for a child of God to fall away and be lost. John said, whosoever is begotten of God doth no sin, because his seed abideth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is begotten of God. 1 John 3:9. This divine declaration is often misunderstood. To say that it is impossible for a child of God to sin would be an absolute contradiction of the same writer in 1 John 1:8-9. In this passage, the same writer declares, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It must be remembered that John was addressing children of God and included himself when he said, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. 1 John 1:10. Actually, as long as a child of God is faithful to the word of God, the seed which abideth in him, he cannot sin. However, cannot does not mean impossible in this case. A Christian may be asked or tempted to engage in some sinful practice, but he answers, I cannot because I am a Christian. That doesn't mean that it would be impossible for him to engage in the sin. Obviously, one could engage in the sinful practice, but as a Christian, he cannot. A parent may tell his child, you cannot do that. Does that make it impossible for the child to disobey? Obviously not. Actually, when one says, you cannot do that, it is implied that it is possible to do it. The child cannot do that and please his parents. Nevertheless, it is possible for the child to disobey if he chooses to do so. Surely, a child of God may sin, and if he lives and dies in sin, he will be lost. Again, objection is raised. But Christ said, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. True, Christ will send nobody to hell. Every person who will go there will go of his own choice and volition. We must remember that Christ invites all that labor and are heavy laden to be saved. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he said. Yet he declares that the unprofitable servant will be cast out. Hear him, beloved. Are you listening? And cast ye out the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:30. Yes, the unfaithful child of God may be cast out. He may be lost. The very familiar passage of Scripture, Romans the 8th chapter, is often used to sustain the denial of the Word of God that it is possible for a child of God to be lost. In this divine statement, Paul concludes, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Truly, there is nothing that separates us from the love of God. God loves his children. God loved the world so much that he gave his Son to die for the world. And when man was completely alienated from him, only God's love made it possible for his salvation. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. But don't you know that your own sins can separate you from God? Listen to God through the prophet Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 when he said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Iniquities may separate a man from God. Your sins may hide his face from God. A child of God, by reason of his own sins, can separate himself from God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, but God admonishes his children, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." Jude 21. Keeping yourself in the love of God is the condition of not being separated from the love of God. Yes, it is declared that one may fall away and be lost. Our Lord said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and they gather them, and cast into the fire, and they are burned." John 15, verses 5 and 6. Christ is the vine, and his disciples are the branches. What happens if a man, described as a branch, does not continue to abide in the vine, Christ, but becomes withered? Jesus gives the answer. Hear him when he said, "They gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." These words of the apostle surely need our consideration. "For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled in the yoke of bondage. Ye are severed from Christ. Ye who will be justified by the law, ye have fallen away from grace." Galatians 5, verses 1 and 4. A child of God can be severed, cut off from Christ. It would be impossible to sever a finger from your hand unless the finger were a part of the hand. It would be impossible for one to be severed from Christ unless he were in Christ, a Christian. And the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Christians, those who were in Christ, as you read in Galatians 3:26-27. A child of God, therefore, may fall from grace and be lost. The Church of Christ is composed of those saved and unsaved. Only those who have been saved by the blood of Christ are they are members of the Lord's Church, as you read in Acts chapter 28. The unfaithful members of the Lord's Church, the disloyal citizens of the Christ kingdom, will be cast into outer darkness of eternity if they do not repent and do the first works, as you read in Matthew 13:14, Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. Therefore, the saved may become unsaved. The erring child of God must be converted, turned again to the Lord, that his sins may be forgiven, as you read in James 5:19-20. The terms of pardon for the fallen child of God include repentance and prayer, Acts 8:13-24, Revelation 2:5, and confession of his sins, James 5 and verse 16. Christians, those redeemed by the blood of Christ and faithful to the Son of God, march on under the blood-stained banner of the Prince of Peace to a glorious victory in Christ. May we as God's children be faithful and diligent, even faithful unto death, but we may receive the crown of life. Then the beautiful home of the soul in the city foursquare, whose gates are of pearl with walls of jasper, and the street of pure gold, the saints of God shall bask in the sunlight of his eternal smile, where death and sorrow are unknown, and joy and happiness are supreme. Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you dare miss it.